subject of our shiur is the halachas of candle lighting. This shiur was originally given Wednesday night, January 11th, but unfortunately the tape recorder lost its power in the middle, so I'm going to have to recreate it artificially now, and it's a shame because many good questions were asked, and I feel that that helped me to get across all of the good points, but I hope that I'll be able to recreate them now for the benefit of those who are listening to the recording. The halachas of Shabbos candles. So the mitzvah of lighting Shabbos candles is so important that really one is supposed to be shoel al hapsochim. If one theoretically were, or God forbid, really were not to have money to be able to afford Shabbos candles, the halacha requires one to actually ask for it. This is an exception to the rule. Usually when it comes to a positive mitzvah, a mitzvah asay, one need not spend more than a fifth of his money or her money on the performance of a mitzvah. If I have $1,000 to my name and tefillin costs more than $200, let's say, I would be exempt from purchasing tefillin. And such is the case with almost all mitzvahs asay, but we do have exceptions, mitzvahs where the halacha takes it further, where one would have to spend all of his money to perform a positive mitzvah. With a negative mitzvah, it's always the case, but even for a positive mitzvah, and candle lighting for Shabbos is one of those mitzvahs. It is therefore one of the very, very serious and important mitzvahs that we have. There are three reasons given for why we light Shabbos candles: Kavod Shabbos, Oneg Shabbos, and Shalom Bayis. Kavod Shabbos we would translate as honor or formality, let's say, for Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos is enjoyment of the Shabbos meal. And Shalom Bayis means that there should be a pleasant illuminated aura in the house. More specifically, Kavod Shabbos means to give the Shabbos a sense of formality by having candles where we dine. If you go to a fancy affair, a banquet, there usually are candles at the table, not necessarily because we need them to light up the room. We might be able to see anyway, but it enhances the honor of Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos is more of a practical consideration. If one is eating in the dark, and recall, of course, that in times of old, if there weren't candles, it would be pitch black in the room as they ate the Friday night meal. So Oneg Shabbos is that one can see. If there's no light in the room, it's not pleasant to eat. Even though the upscale restaurants try to keep the lights dim enough that you can't see the dirt on the carpet, but at least to be able to see our food. The Gemara incidentally says that a blind man does not enjoy his food because he can't see it. Part of the joy is in the presentation. But at any rate, Oneg Shabbos is that we can eat the Shabbos meal where there is light to see what we are eating and to be able to see while we are eating. Shalom Bayis is a different concept, and that applies throughout the house, not only where we're eating, but that there should be light in the house. When it's dark, people stumble, they bump into things, and that puts us in a negative mood. We don't want to have that on Shabbos. Therefore, for the reason of Shalom Bayis, one is supposed to have candles throughout the house. Nowadays, we have electric lights in the other rooms, so we don't light Shabbos candles throughout the house. But there is a notion that there should be light in other rooms in the house. In fact, sometimes you can have a circumstance where one has been yotzei, he has fulfilled one aspect of Shabbos candles, but not another. If a person, let's say, lives alone and eats out, he eats the Friday night meal at someone else's house, so the Balas Habayis had him in mind when lighting the Shabbos candles, the Kavod and Oneg Shabbos perhaps are fulfilled, but if he leaves his dwelling place totally dark, not illuminated, there's no light there, so then he has missed out on the Shalom Bayis aspect. For this case, though, we would paskin that as long as there are lights, even if not candles, then he really would be exempt, would not have to light candles. Some people light anyway, but for Shalom Bayis, it suffices that there's some form of light, even if not candles per se. Interestingly, a practice that both Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and Rabbi Moshe Feinstein had is that the lighting of the candles goes along with turning on the lights. They would actually turn off the lights in the dining room, or their Rebbetzins would turn off the lights in the dining room and then turn them back on and then light Shabbos candles and then make the bracha. So that the bracha is referring back not only to the candles but actually to turning on the electric lights as well, because really the electric lights are providing some of the Oneg Shabbos and the Shalom Bayis as well. So it's nice to have the bracha said on all of them. In addition, Shabbos candles really have to be done for the sake of the mitzvah of Shabbos. If I have candles burning in my house Friday afternoon just because I like to have candles burning, and then later in the day I decide, you know what, I'll designate these candles as my Shabbos candles, so that's invalid. Certainly if they were lit before Parga Mincha, but even not if they were not lit the covered Shabbos, they were lit simply because I wanted light, so that is not the mitzvah of lighting Shabbos candles. So here too, they had Rav Moshe and Rav Yaakov had this practice of turning on the lights l'kavod Shabbos as well, so that the electric lights along with the candles were really illuminating l'kavod Shabbos. Not everyone does that, but that's an interesting practice that they had. The mitzvah of Shabbos candles is really on the family. It's not only the woman's mitzvah, it's the husband's responsibility as well. It's a mitzvah on the household. However, the mitzvah belongs first to the woman. She has the first right to it. If she's unable to light, so then the husband would light. But really, otherwise, she has the first right to the mitzvah. Even if the husband says he would like to, she really does not have to give in. And the woman of the house has the right to the mitzvah. However, interestingly, the halacha is in general, if you steal someone else's mitzvah, if someone else has a mitzvah that's really theirs, and I go ahead and perform it, I steal the opportunity, there's a halacha that I have to pay Yud Zehuvim, 10 gold coins, for stealing someone else's mitzvah. I stole something. Here, the halacha actually is not that way. If a husband went ahead and stole his wife's mitzvah, it's not a good idea. But if they were to appear before a Beis Din, it'd be sort of a funny case. But since the mitzvah belongs to him as well, only that he is secondary or has second right to it, so he didn't do a good thing, but he needn't pay. He didn't entirely steal something that was not his. Why does the woman have the mitzvah first? Why is it her right first to perform the mitzvah? So the Rambam says simply because she is Netzuyah B'Bayis. The woman takes care of things in the house much more than the man. Men are good at abstract, theoretical thinking, but when it comes to L'maisa, we're sometimes somewhat weak. I always mention the story that I was sitting at home learning with a Chavrusa. I was learning Hilchos Kashrus, learning the Shulchan Aruch Yaradei, and while I did that, I trafed up a spoon. So you can be learning about kashrus, but actually manage it is something else. The women are often more adept in running matters in the house, more so. Not that it's always the case that way, but that was the assumption. And therefore, since she is Mitzuyah B'Bayis, the mitzvah was put upon her. In addition, there's a reason given in the Medrash. And this is a medrash which is expressing a very deep concept in simplified terms, as Midrashim often do, that we know the basic words and the basic idea, but the full comprehension of the idea we may not have until we study it and mature in our understanding of Chazal and of the Torah. So the medrash tells us that Chava, the first woman, extinguished the flame of Adam HaRishon by causing him to do the chait of the Eitz Hadas. He became mortal. He was not going to live forever as he otherwise would have. So she extinguished his candle, and therefore Shabbos candles are, so to speak, a compensation for that. It doesn't mean that women bear guilt. It's a deeper concept than that, but women are rekindling, bringing back the light of the world by lighting Shabbos candles. Actually, the Medrash says the same is true of Challah. Adam HaRishon is described as Chalasa Shalolam. He was the Challah of the world. He came from the earth, just as wheat does, whatever it might mean. But Adam was the Challah of the world, and she caused him to ultimately to die. So the mitzvah is baking Challah, and taking off the Challah. That mitzvah is also a uniquely a woman's mitzvah, not necessarily to the exclusion of men, but it's a special women's mitzvah. And according to some Rishonim, actually the Mishnah that says that three mitzvahs are special for women, Nida, Chala, and Hadlaka Saner, so the mitzvah of Nida also some connected that she spilled the blood of Adam HaRishon, and Dam Nida is a kapara for that. Interesting idea in the Medrash, but that's the second reason why the woman has first crack at the mitzvah of Hadlaka Saner. Nevertheless, many poskim mention there's a minhag that a man should have some role in the candle lighting as well, and that's why many men have a custom to prepare the candles for their wives. The man lights it and then blows it out so that the wick will light more easily and more quickly when the woman comes to actually light the Shabbos candles later that day. Two reasons for this. One is simply a practical matter. It's very often last minute when we get around to lighting Shabbos candles, especially in this winter season when people come home from work and it's a very pressured time. So sometimes minutes or seconds even count. We hope that we're not running that late. But if it takes an extra minute for the wicks to catch fire, that can be a negative thing. So the husband is supposed to prepare it simply so that we will not, God forbid, come to Chilul Shabbos, to lighting the candles after Shabbos has already started. And in addition, the man is supposed to have a share in the mitzvah. He was not guiltless in the chait of Adam HaRishon. She gave him the fruit, but he ate it. So he also has a share in that concept, and of course in the mitzvah in general. So therefore, many have a minhag that the husband prepares the candles. There's an interesting concept mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not from the Gemara, but a notion that if a woman misses, and I say a woman perhaps specifically, perhaps it would apply to men too if they light candles, but that if a woman misses candle lighting due to forgetfulness or negligence, she forgot to light one Friday, or she was negligent and therefore didn't light, so the Maharil, one of the early poskim, tells us of a minhag that there's a knas, so to speak. She penalizes herself. And from then on, she adds one more candle every Shabbos. So she always lit five candles. So from now on, and one Shabbos she missed, from now on she will light six candles to sort of make up for the mistake that she made. This is a minhag mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. This poses a lot of interesting questions. We know that the minhag is many women light, and I'll explain reasons for this shortly, but many women light two candles plus the number of candles for the children in the family. So that minhag applies only when one is at home, but when people visit, they light just two candles. So if a woman forgot to light candles, so at home she usually lights five, and then because she forgot, she started to light six. So what would the halacha be if she now visits a friend's house and she lights two? So should she light three? Do we apply it there as well? This is one question the poskim raised. Additionally, the question is raised with regard to Yom Tov. What if a woman forgot not on Shabbos, but on Yom Tov she forgot to light candles? One of the poskim makes the argument that here the knas, the penalty, should not apply because we have a general rule, milsa de lo shchicha lo gazru barabanan. An uncommon scenario does not usually receive a rabbinic enactment. The rabbanan don't make rules to address unlikely scenarios. And if you think about it, on Shabbos, if it's late Friday and a woman forgets to light candles, and then before you know it, it's Shkia, it's Shabbos, so she can't light anymore. But on Yom Tov, if a woman forgot to light candles, so they sit down to eat, and someone will say, you know, something's missing here. So they probably will notice later. So she'll light the candles later, so because on Yom Tov we're allowed to transfer fire. So the likelihood of somebody forgetting to light candles on Yom Tov is much less, and therefore the argument could be made that the Rabbanu would never have made an enactment, a minhag, to address such a situation. Additionally, some ask, what about Yom Tov Sheni, the second day of Yom Tov we observe in Golus? Maybe that's less strict because it's only Midrabbanu. Or what would happen if a woman forgot on Yom Tov? Does she have to add on Shabbos too? If she forgot on the second day of Yom Tov, need she add on the first day of Yom Tov and on Shabbos too? Or you could ask, what if a woman forgot on the second day of Yom Tov? One year on the second day of Yom Tov, let's say of Sukkot, she forgot to light candles. And if we assume that she has to add a candle, at least on Yom Tov Sheni, what if she moved to Eretz Yisrael and now she no longer observes the second day of Yom Tov? Poskim also raised the question, what if a woman had to practice to light when she was single? So she was living alone and she lit in her home and she forgot 1 week. So from then on she added, instead of lighting two, she lit three. Now she gets married and now she's representative of not only herself but her husband. She's lighting candles for their household. He doesn't want to light three, he wants to light two. He doesn't want everybody to know that they forgot or that she forgot. Does she submit herself to his practice and therefore light only two, or does she have to continue? These are all questions raised by the poskim. Perhaps more likely and relevant is the question as to whether the fact that there is other forms of illumination in the house circumvents this whole minhag in the first place. In other words, nowadays we have electric lights. It used to be in the times of old, if a woman forgot to light Shabbos candles, they ate in the dark. The husband would be grumbling and growling the whole meal. Although it's his fault too, because the Mishnah says he's supposed to remind her, Hadliku es haner. But it used to be they would end up in the dark. Nowadays, if one could forget to light Shabbos candles, it's probably because he could very well not notice, because we have light anyway. So that the fact that we have Shabbos light, which, as I said at the outset, does capture some of the element of Oneg Shabbos and Shalom Bayis, so would we say that therefore the woman should not be penalized? So it's interesting, Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, the great German poskim, has a short tshuva on this subject. And on the one hand, he says, well, if there was other forms of light, either gas or electric, so on the one hand, we really should not penalize the woman. On the other hand, he cites the opinion of one of the poskim who says that even if a woman forgot to light one of the candles that she usually lights, that should be penalized. If she always lights 15 candles, and one week she only lit 14 by mistake, the Eshel Avram, one of the poskim, says she must now light 16. She has to compensate even for that minor misdemeanor of missing one candle. You didn't quite honor the Shabbos the way you have in the past due to a forgetfulness. You have to make up for it. The Mishnah Brura poskins against that. The Mishnah Brura says, no, we only impose the penalty if she forgot altogether. But says Rav Hoffman, since you do see there's a shita that holds even the slightest diminution of the honor of the illumination of Shabbos requires a kanas, a tashlum, and something to make up for that slight error. So that shita certainly would hold that if you had electric lights but not the candles, so that's certainly not as beautiful. Shabbos is beautified, is enhanced with the actual candles, so the woman who forgot to light candles, even though she had electric lights, she's missing something. So it depends how you view it. He ends up saying that if adding an extra candle would really be disturbing and upsetting. He says if they had a certain candelabra that had a certain number of candles, and to get another one, it'll look odd, it'll stand out. So then in the case where there are electric lights on the Shabbos that she forgot, then she need not. But at the end of the tshuva, he says, "Upater below kulam yefsher." But to get off scot-free, it's very hard to do, because the fact of the matter is that she did forget something. So it's not the full severity of the case that Shulchan Aruch talks about, but nevertheless, one really should do something to make up for having not honored the Shabbos in the same way. This is something that's borne in mind when a shiloh comes up. Sometimes we have a combination of factors why we might be lenient. If it was Yom Tov and not Shabbos, where there are some poskim who anyway feel that you don't have this kanas, this minhag, to impose a penalty, plus there were electric lights on, so sometimes we put different factors together, and if this situation ever arises, one should ask a shiloh. Okay, how many candles do we light? So in order to fulfill the mitzvah min ha-Torah of lighting Shabbos candles, how many candles need be lit? Just one. One candle alone fulfills the mitzvah of Shabbos candles. However, there's a very old minhag to light at least two, to light two candles. The primary reason given for this is Zohar v'Shamar. Two aspects of Shabbos, Zohar and Shamar. Zohar means the positive aspects of Shabbos, the things we do. We make Kiddush, we have a meal, we experience Shabbos in a positive sense. Shamar means guard yourself from the things that you're not allowed to do, the malachos. It's very important, incidentally, as a matter of chinuch, that we convey both elements of Shabbos. If children get the sense that Shabbos is a whole host of don'ts, you may not do that, you can't do this that you want to do, you can't do that, then Shabbos is missing its flavor. The shamar must go hand in hand with the zohar, and therefore both elements are to be represented when we light Shabbos candles. Incidentally, another reason given by one of the poskim, by some of the poskim, as to why we light two, is because Chazal have a tradition that a man has 248 limbs. However, exactly that's counted. Ramach Evarim, 248 limbs, and a woman has 252. A quick mathematical head, 248 plus 252 is 500. The gematria, the numerical value of ner and ner, two candles, is also 500, so it's somehow symbolic of the home, the ish v'isha. This is also one of the reasons, by the way, why a chasen and kala are escorted to the chuppah with candles. Those walking them down usually hold a candle on either side, also symbolic of Isha Isha, Ner Ner, equaling the total of the man and the woman. So when I taught this in my halacha class in high school, so one of the girls asked, but there's four candles, not two, because the chazan walks down with two, and then the kala walks down with two more, so it's off. It's not two candles, it's four. So one of the other girls responded that no, the caterer brings the candles back. The ones that escorted the chassan down are then brought back to bring the kala. I think it depends which caterer you have, but in any event, that is one of the reasons for that minhag. So there's an old minhag to have at least two candles, probably for Zohar and Shamar. Interestingly, the common minhag today to have two candles plus for the number of children in the family does not appear in the older poskim. Poskim mentioned seven. By the way, if one does light seven candles, it should not be, or it's at least a shiloh, if it's on a candelabra that's made of metal, that has a seven-branch candelabra, there is an isser in the Torah to make a replica of the menorah, even if it doesn't meet the same dimensions and doesn't look the same, but if it's a metal menorah and it's seven-branch, there could be a shiloh there, and one should look into it before purchasing any such thing. Poskim mentioned seven, they mentioned ten for the Aseret HaDibros, but the minhag that we have apparently developed later. And I know of two explanations of this minhag. One is not the intuition that you would have had. One explanation is that we mentioned before there's a minhag to have a knas, that if a woman forgets to light candles, so she penalizes herself henceforth, adding an extra candle. Now that halacha really is only if it was due to negligence or forgetfulness. If it was due to factors that were really beyond her control, then it doesn't apply. If someone was sick, there was a little bit of a mini crisis.